Guys, stop jerking off to the Sears catalog. Go to needtobuildmuscle.com and pick yourself up some high-quality dietary supplements. While you're there, follow me on Instagram because I post at least 5 cool cat photos per day. Now on to the episode. This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Karitzen. Steve, do you want to do the honors of introducing today's guest?
Yeah, we have Mr. Mark Lobeliner returning. I believe this is the second time on our podcast. So we have another great guest. Mark, how you doing?
What's going on, man? Doing very well. Very well. Sunny day in Chicago today.
So Mark, you're still running Tiger Fitness and you're still growing your social media and stuff. What else has happened since we had you on? Interesting.
Well, luckily I've had no extra children. My dog is getting tomorrow. Just doing my thing, man. Formulated a bar that's going to be hitting around the Olympia. It's going to have no prebiotic fiber and glycerin. And that's awesome because prebiotic fiber is not a bad thing if you don't take it in 20-gram doses. Then you're just asking for your gut to explode. So we have that coming out at time of the Olympia. Just a lot of cool things, man. Learning, delving more into different things I've never really thought about. Fasting, autophagy, you know, just trying to expand my knowledge base and everything I'm about. Because stop learning, you stop earning.
And you're a boxer now, too, so that's kind of cool.
No, I'm a mediocre guy who played a boxer for a charity match, and I won, and I still go once. I went today. I go once, twice a week, but I have no intention of ever getting punched in the face, at least purposefully, ever again.
So you did that for a charity, right, Mark?
Yeah, and also to challenge myself.
Okay. So what did you learn from doing that? Because boxing I've met an Olympic boxer before, and I was kind of fascinated by his body structure. It's not what people may assume out there, because people might see him in the street and be like, how is this guy a boxer? But I guarantee you put him in the ring, he'll probably lay you out within like 20 seconds. So
yeah,
what'd you learn from boxing in terms of fitness?
I learned that, you know, hypertrophy is not always relevant to performance. Performance and hypertrophy are two separate things. And also, if your body fat's too low, well, that's not always the most optimal for performance. You obviously don't want to be over fat, but being 6% body fat isn't optimal. And also movement patterns and learning how to conserve energy for different movements. For me, it would take 10 times more energy to throw a punch if you don't know how to throw a punch than someone who's done it over and over and over. I got my ass kicked by a lot of people who were out of shape.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a different challenge. I've tried different things over the course of time and stuff. It's one of those things that just takes time to kind of get used to. So, you know, how did the charity thing go? How much money did you raise and what did you raise it for? Because last podcast you mentioned that your mom was in the military and that's kind of what gave you the inspiration to do that.
Well, mom was in the Israeli military, and I think we are also first-generation Americans, so I think that just giving back to our troops and people who serve and fight for our freedom is always a good thing. And in the last year, we've raised over $70,000 for the Semper Fi Fund, so that's been, you know, something we've been really focusing on, and this really did help to raise more money for it and raise more awareness for the fund.
Mark, you know what's kind of badass?
What's that?
My mom is a fifth degree black belt.
So that is kind of cool.
Well, it's kind of like, it's kind of cool, but it's also kind of humiliating knowing that my mom could kick my ass.
My mom has kicked my ass many, many, many times. So, you know, it's good to know that if you're in a fight, but if somebody attacks you, it's good to know that your mom can have your back.
How humiliating would that be if you're like shopping or something and someone's like, picks a fight with you and it's your mom who backs you up and kicks his ass?
Honestly, it's actually kind of happened to me. I was suspended from Little League, not going to go into the story. Let's just say that I was good and I got kicked out. I got suspended for a few games and my mom was on probation for 2 years for knocking out the president of my Little League. It's crazy.
Oh man. Parents at sports are insane. Like, I used to play AAA hockey, and hockey here in Canada is huge. oh my goodness, it was the parents who were the ones trying to get the kids to fight. It wasn't even the kids. It was the parents who were like egging each other on.
My mom didn't really do anything to do that. I mean, she was responding to, you know, a parent who was out of control. And my mom wasn't about to have any of that crap. So she took care of it. And it ended really fast. And you know, the guy didn't mess with her again. But yeah, it did result in probation and her being arrested. So, you know, it's actually a cool thing to me.
So Mark, talk to us a little bit about MTS Nutrition. When you come to formulate a new supplement, how do you get these ideas? Like, how do you get all these supplement ideas? Are these just kind of products that you want yourself that you're basically allowing other people to purchase? Do you work with someone that, you know, gives you ideas, or is it basically you're the brains behind it all?
Can you repeat that? We glitched a little bit.
My question is about MTS Nutrition. So with all these new supplements you're coming out with, are you the one developing all this? Is there someone who helps you? Are you basically just thinking of stuff that you personally would want to use and then just making a supplement that other people can buy?
There's a couple ways to come out with supplements. One is your dream supplement, what you want, what'll help you fill a void. And that's what it helps. You know, that's what helps the fact that I actually use the products. I actually, you know, maintain the lifestyle. I actually practice what I preach. But I think another thing is market voids. Like, you know, I want a protein bar that my kids can have that won't cause them to poop all over themselves. I want a protein bar that won't cause me bloated for the next 20 days. I wanted a whey protein that met label claims. You know, I have my wife helping me, but I handle all of our domestic sales. I have one guy helping me in the office, Matt. So we have over 500 B2B retail accounts. I handle all of those personally. I handle all of our international business personally, handle all the R&D personally. I'm a very hands-on individual. So, you know, I like to keep my ears to the streets. And one thing that I am able to do is, being that I do a bunch of store events, I average around two a week, I'm able to see what's going on in the world, and I'm able to kind of adapt to what's going on in the industry. And that's where we have our advantage. We have our ears to the street.
Interesting. When is this protein bar going to be available?
I'm launching it at the Olympia. It's called the Outright Bar, Outright Delicious. You know, the thing is, we're having such a great response to it, because I think people are tired of eating a protein bar and having these fake carbs. I mean, I'm sure you've probably addressed net carbs and what a bullshit term it is. And I'm really sick and tired of bullshit terms and people thinking that they're eating something that has no calories that actually does. And it's about time we put some real food in people's hands, something they can take with them and enjoy.
And something that doesn't feel like you're eating shoe leather.
Yeah, and the texture, it's once people try these things, it's going to be game on for the industry. So it's going to absolutely disrupt the industry.
So we got a listener question for you, Mark. So
yes. You
went through a lot of different diet experiments. I mean, you did the carnivore diet, you did intermittent fasting, you did vegan diets.
Yeah.
I think you did like five more. I probably can't even list them all. Out of all of them, which was your favorite and which was your least favorite?
I think my favorite diet's common sense. It's pretty funny. The thing about exclusionary diets is they all have certain applications. If your goal is to have an ethical life and cut out animal products, veganism makes sense. However, I believe there's a place in the diet for cholesterol. I believe that meat has its place, and I believe meat is the most nutrient dense thing you could put in your body. It's full of nutrients, and that's the reason we can argue that our brains developed, evolutionarily speaking. So veganism, I see it as moral, ethical, and again, if people get the heebie-jeebies by eating animals, then it's great. Carnivore diet, the reason I see an application for it, if you have food allergies, you get rid of the oxalates and vegetables, you get rid of a lot of the potential allergens, you're just eating meat, then you're able to kind of, without getting a $1,500 food allergy test, almost do a four-week exclusion test. Then you can add things back in, and it takes time, but there is a way to get around that, and you're not going to die from just eating carnivore. Also, the lack of fiber can give your digestive system almost a break. My issue with that is you will be, you know, for me, it was liquid poop was my main issue with the carnivore diet. There's no fiber. There's no roughage. It was a really messy experience. I think keto has its applications, especially for anti-diabetic. Fasting is just an eating schedule. However, I do enjoy still to this day 24-hour fast just for the benefits of autophagy, anti-aging, potential blood sugar benefits over the long term, even though it's a short-term fast. So I think all of them have their place. But again, I also like the data behind having carbs around training. I think there's a time and place for everything. And I think you need, obviously you need adequate healthy fats, adequate fats in your diet, or else they're essential. You need adequate amino acids. The one thing you don't need is carbohydrate. However, carbohydrates are delicious, they're social, and they do serve a purpose, I believe, around training. So again, it's a matter of extrapolating all of these extreme diets and coming out with something that works for you.
Tell us a little bit about more about the 24-hour fast. So you're eating a dinner, probably what, 6 or 7 o'clock, then you don't eat again for the next day, 6 or 7 o'clock. Yeah. Is that something you just started trying, or have you done that before?
I actually did it for over a week, because over the years of bodybuilding, now you guys train and you probably shove food down your throat you didn't want to eat. Your digestive system takes a beating. You're eating nutrient-dense foods for year over year over year over year. And while your body's meant to handle it, I think from an evolutionary standpoint, you know, back in the day, and again, the stomach, everything evolves pretty fast. So we're getting very simplistic and we're reaching really far. So I understand if science is against me. I understand this is a little bit kind of hippie, but just bear with me. You know, when we were eating like once a day or even more, we'd go longer when we were hunting stuff and before drive-thrus existed. So I think that from the 20 plus years of literally force feeding to maintain a certain size, a certain muscular accumulation, that my digestive system just got overworked. And so what I was doing, I was literally eating one time a day, every day for about, I think it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks, until I felt right, if that makes sense. And a lot of people think fasting is gonna make you tired, lethargic, and foggy. It actually does the opposite. Once I found I got over that 9 a.m., 11 a.m. mark, my brain would be operating very optimally, and I'd be almost on a high, where I'd be really clicking. So I do like the fasts for autophagy benefits. Autophagy, if you don't know, your body basically breaks down old cells, basically cells that are not needed or dead. Your body's like, all right, let's get rid of these. So it essentially eats itself. And that's part of things. So your body's lacking nutrients. So it goes to all these different methods of creating energy. So autophagy is a really big thing. It's a really big catchword. And honestly, as someone who's aging, I like looking into things that could potentially help me not die.
I actually did a 5-day water fast a couple weeks ago. I've done a 19-day water fast before as well, and a 14-day and a 10-day. So I'm experienced with this. But I did blood work on the 4th day in my 5-day fast, and my white blood cell counts were low and my platelets were low. So that's proof. Yeah, that's proof that your old cells do die off when you fast. And then I did blood work after I started eating again, white blood cell count, platelet count went back to normal. Mm-hmm. So you're clearing out the old cells. Very important to drink while you're fasting so you can clean out those old cells, but it really does help. And what's weird is, it really boosts your immune system amazingly. So if anyone out there is sick all the time and you always get sick, and you don't feel good and stuff, give that a shot. Can really help detox you. So I'm not surprised by that at all.
As cool as that is, Mark, do you want to know the real reason why Steve was getting blood work done?
Okay, go ahead.
He wanted to see if his gear was real.
No.
Yeah, well, nothing's wrong with that. At least you want.
Yeah.
you can't be buying from those guys on the street corner anymore, dude.
Well, like, we get questions on the forum all the time. This guy saying he bought Anavar off his buddy for $20, and we're like, dude, there's probably Flintstone vitamins in there.
I mean, it's like dealing with being that I'm on actual prescription. I know the prices of this stuff, and I know that it's driven up because it's prescription quality. But there's a couple reasons why it shouldn't be that cheap. Well, I mean, it's street gear, but if it's that cheap, you got to question where it's made and what it's made of. Those are two things that would come to mind. People just they assume that because of, generally speaking, drug dealers aren't usually the most trustworthy individuals.
Well, I can just tell you from a chemical engineering standpoint, making the drugs is very cheap. It's purifying them, which is the expensive process, right? Okay. So you can make raw hormones that are about 80% purity for very cheap. And that's what those people in China are doing. So when you're getting, this stuff from China, and again, people in China, they don't give two craps. They will send you whatever.
Yeah.
It's about 80% pure. So you're putting about 20% impurities into your body.
God knows what those are.
Usually heavy metals, especially when it comes to things like Tren. Yeah. Anyone who's used Tren and knows that it has that weird like metallic scent to it, that's heavy metals you're putting into your body.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro. But but nonetheless, I think that, you know, as you get older and you start to kind of look into things, and I always advise people before you start on this path, you know, to look into if you're willing to put unidentified substances into your body. And a lot of the times you go on the black market, that's what you're going to get. So that's why, you know, people are like, you know, when I'll post an update, and I'm still, you know, I'm 215 pounds and still in pretty good shape. Muscle just doesn't go away. But like, oh, he's on a Tren cycle, this and that. I'm like, bro, man, no, it's just, why would I? I mean, I have a prescription. I have my HRT and that's all I want to do. I have no interest in getting bigger. I have no interest in any illusions of grandeur. I'm not going to be, did you see Rolly Winkler's picture from this week? It was yesterday he posted it. The dude that bodybuilding used to be like drugs were a part of it. Now drugs are everything. Whoever has the most drugs is going to win. That's what I'm pretty much convinced of.
It looks like some sight enhancing website was having like a clearing out their inventory sale.
And he took all of it.
He basically said, here's my credit card info. Send me all of it.
I've never seen. Now it's getting to the point now where I don't even want to see it. It's not, it's like an ambulance. You know, I used to have a buddy who was a paramedic. His first dead body, he threw up. He couldn't stop talking about it. After the third and fourth, he didn't even notice it. He didn't even talk about it anymore. That's what bodybuilding is to me. It just doesn't shock me anymore. It's just a matter of who's willing to be the biggest pincushion there is. They can't even train hard. Have you ever trained with it? And I have. Have you ever taken a shot and it hurt? Can you imagine the amount of injections they have, how much it hurts to move?
We had Boston Lloyd on this podcast a couple episodes ago. And he said he's injecting his forearms now because he's running out of his sights. Could you imagine trying to grip a dumbbell after injecting your forearm? Like, I don't know. But I agree with you. Like, I'm the biggest bodybuilding fan. Like, don't get me wrong. I love bodybuilding. I watch all the interviews. I go to the Olympia. But I watch it as a fan. I don't look at those physiques and go, I want to look like that.
God, no. I can't imagine trying to move or whatever. And so I had dinner. My wife and my kids and I had dinner with Boston and his lovely wife. And it was really funny because he's sitting, this before she had her kid. He's sitting there describing when he got the infection on his arm. And my daughter and son are just like, it was the funniest thing ever. Boston does not hold back regardless of his audience. I think he's a great guy. And we're kind of polar opposites. He's do whatever it takes. And I'm like, don't die. But God, I love that. He's such a good guy. I like him.
What I like about Boston is that he's very genuine. Like what you see is what you get. And like, that's what me and Steve try to do with this podcast. Like we're not anti-steroids. We're just trying to be real world and people see big picture. You know, if you're a 40-year-old guy, you got a dad bod going on and your goal is to have a nice chest and a six pack, you don't need steroids.
No. Just
clean up your diet, start exercising 4 or 5 days per week, and you can get that body. Yeah. Now, if you want to be a professional bodybuilder, I mean, you're going to need some pharmacology.
A lot.
So that's what me and Steve are trying to do. We're just trying to get people to think big picture with this stuff.
Uh-huh. You're absolutely correct. And it's about time and place and goals. And if you're willing to give up potential years of your life to reach a certain goal and also realize the chances of you making it to the Olympia stage are very slim.
That's true.
Pragmatism, man. You got to just think, like, is this even going to happen?
Steve, do you have any questions for Mark or Shad?
So, I mean, let's talk about supplements, because this has been talked about a lot with proprietary blends. We had a guest yesterday talking about it. And I wanted to ask you, because you're an expert on it, and I'm also going to be publishing some articles on proprietary blends. So what are proprietary blends and supplements, and what's the skinny on them? What's your opinion on them?
Well, there's a couple reasons for them. A proprietary blend is essentially, instead of listing out, I have 5 grams of creatine and 2.5 grams of beta-alanine, I have 7.5 grams of the muscle building blend, and it includes creatine and beta-alanine. And per the FDA, it's listed in sequential order of which is greatest to lowest. However, you need to look at it like FDA is probably not going to test it and check for it. So it's up to you to believe them. And that's even beyond the case. Do you believe what's on a person's label anyway? Because a lot of these companies have been caught lying. My opinion of proprietary blends, One reason they started, a lot of people don't understand this, and rightfully so, is when you get tested by the FDA, and let's say you're off on an ingredient, the larger companies like Optimum, MuscleTech, I believe one of the main reasons they started using proprietary blends is to cover their ass in case the blend was not uniform and one of their ingredients came in underdosed. So that way they could say, well, sequentially, it's in order. We never claimed a dose. So they're getting aside from that claim. A lot of people don't realize that's one of the reasons proprietary blends existed. Did you guys know that? You might. You probably do. You've done some research on it.
I did know that. And then another thing supplement companies are doing is that they're selling supplements now as foods instead of supplements. So things like protein powders, greens powders, things like that.
You have to.
Label it as a food.
Yeah.
It's a totally different marketing claims. It's very, very easier. And then it's not regulated by the FDA.
Yeah, and you have to. They won't let you. I put supplement facts on a protein panel once accidentally. It was one of those where you're copying an old label and you're okay, cool. It was a one-off isolate for another brand. And FDA, they made sure I knew that I fucked up. It's a nutrition fact panel. And also with Australia, it's imported as a food. Other countries follow the same guidelines. Proprietary blends, in my opinion, right now, there's no way people don't know that you need this much creatine, this much beta-alanine, this much agmatine, whatever it is. People can figure that out with a simple Google search or watching my YouTube channel. Okay, bottom line is people do proprietary blends to lie to people. They do proprietary blends to hide things. That's why I think 99% of people are doing it. And it's kind of disingenuous. And the fact that it's still done after all we've seen kind of upsets me a little bit, but I understand why they do it. For example, Teocrine, it's not as effective as it was supposed to be. It's still effective, but man, is that shit expensive. So if I'm going to do an energy matrix and I want to put Teocrine on my label, if I put, like, I put 100 milligrams active in Clash, and dude, that shit's a cost driver of the product. But I could easily put Teocrine in a professional energy blend, put 10 milligrams in there, bring my cost per product down by probably $3, which is everything in the world of margins and B2B sales. So that's why they do it, or they're just scumbags who don't know how to formulate. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Mark, I agree with everything you said. What would you say, though, to your competitors who would say, we're doing a proprietary blend because we don't want people to steal our formula?
Here's the thing. I can send anything to it. Like, I just did my protein bar, and I had the macros figured out on my own, you know? And I'm like, oh, here's the I sent the bar. I didn't tell them what the fuck was in it, and my math was about 90% right. The protein macros came back the same. The carb macros, sugars, added sugars, miscellaneous, okay? You can do that shit with supplements too. If I really wanted to knock off a formula, all I'd have to do is send it to Microback Labs in Pittsburgh and say, hey, Claudia, I need you to figure out what the fuck's in here. And within 7 to 10 days, I have a complete list of what's in the product. It's not rocket science. I'm sorry. It's not rocket surgery. I mean, it's just for them to say that just makes me want to just take a poop on my couch. It's just like, really? You're trying to, I mean, that's just disingenuous. It is, because you can reverse engineer anything.
It's true. And reverse engineering is a lot easier than engineering.
Engineering sucks. People don't realize supplement formulations, like there's ingredients that, oh, those work and they don't. They might either have a reaction in the powder. They might have a reaction wherever, but sometimes you just can't make it work. It just won't work. And there's different things, pHs, all that. A lot of people don't realize that. Clumping of products. So formulating products isn't easy. And clumping,
mixability and taste. Oh my goodness, those three are the toughest.
It's hard, especially when you're dealing with, I just had a, I'm trying to flavor a pre-workout, and I'm using an ingredient that doesn't, now on their own, they're fine, but I'm using LVATP. LVATP combined with this other ingredient I'm using tastes like utter friggin' dog ass. And I've never eaten dog ass, but I'm just assuming. And yeah, so that's kind of where you're at, is that formulating is extremely difficult.
So, Mark, we got another listener question for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to summarize this question into this so that you are the CEO of a huge company. You run TigerFitness.com. You're a professional bodybuilder. You're a husband. You're a father. You do so many different things. how do you rock at life? Do you have like morning hacking rituals? Do you have any sort of like weird voodoo things? What makes you so successful where the average person just struggles to keep an 8-to-5 job?
I think it's time management. Well, from the moment I wake up, I don't waste time. You know, I think that a lot of people waste time with the internet. The average teenager spends 9 hours on social media a day. 9 hours on social media. That's new statistics. It's insane. Imagine if you took the time that people go to the office, they stand around the water cooler, they talk about the Super Bowl, their football team, this and that. Imagine if they spent that time. I like to take time every day. My hacks are pretty simple. I love the sauna, autophagy reasons. They added a study, not very well done, but I'll take it. 4 days a week, 15 minutes is the equivalent. They did a 40% decrease in overall mortality. I like to do that at least 4 days a week. First thing when I wake up, I drink 32 ounces of water with my health supplements mixed in. I don't want to get too pimpy, but you know, health, you know, as far as liver organ support, my greens, fish oils, things like that. I always get late. Like, think about it. If you went through the day for 8 hours without drinking water, you'd be pretty dehydrated, right? Like, we do that every night. Your body just doesn't shut down when you sleep. Get hydrated immediately. Even if you don't take stuff with it like I do, drink water, get some electrolytes in there because your electrolytes are fundamental for functioning. Then learn something. You know, I always put on, there's a YouTube channel called Things I've Learned. It's an amazing channel. I listen to that every morning usually. Do 30 minutes passively. Maybe I'll do cardio while doing it. Answer all my emails. By the time 9 a.m. rolls around and I go to the gym, I've already got 4 hours of work done. And a lot of people at 9 a.m., they sit around, they putz around the house. They waste time, you know. And then when I spend time with my kids, I spend time with my kids. I go hard on dadhood. You know, when I spend time with my wife, I go hard on that. I think the key is you need to focus on what you're doing at that given moment and don't waste time. Focus on things that don't matter. And I used to be terrible at that. I've gotten better in that I'd focus on the negative things like the haters or the trolls. Or even though they're inconsequential, I can get off YouTube and social media right now and I'll be just fine. Like, people overestimate the worth of social media in making money, unless that's all you do. But if you have a solid background and a solid business and a solid revenue stream from other sources, like, you know, and you're not trying to make money just being Mr. Social Media, which I'm guessing 99% of the people who watch this are not creators on the internet. They're not creators. They need to do their job and figure out a way to look at their next move. Like, what are you doing next? Spend every moment as looking at where will this lead me down the road. But my hacks are health. Pay attention to health first and foremost. And never miss workouts. You know what? It may take an hour out of your day, but exercise, you know this as a science guy, exercise, the only thing we have in this world that has been shown to increase in the first time you do it, it increases this. It increases your brain activity. It increases your mental capacity. It increases everything. So by being healthy, by having adequate nutrition, by controlling your insulin so you're not falling asleep after your big fucking Mexican food meal at lunch, you know, then you're going to optimize every second of your day. So my hacks, I mean, I could spend 2 hours talking about, dude, I take essential oils for my stomach. I take this. I mean, I could go over it for hours. I'm a health freak. I'm a hypochondriac. But, well, not a hypochondriac. I just don't want to die. And I want to maximize every second of my day.
Did you really say 9 hours on social media per day?
9 hours. I do an outright minute every day on YouTube and on the Ghetto YouTube channel I have. And the outright minute is just a minute of, like, today I talked about 401ks. 9 hours is the last statistic I read. And it was from, like, social media research. It was from, like, a credible organization. It was public. I think New York Times wrote about it. Fake news, you know, as Trump says. And
how many dick pics can you send in a single day? Like,
I can send quite a bit. Yeah, I'll try. I'll tag you on them tomorrow. We'll see. Honestly, but the thing is, my daughter is 12, but she plays soccer with 14, 15-year-olds. So I get to this sounds weird. I get to observe 14 and 15-year-old girls a lot. That sounded really bad. You know, they're always on their phone. If they're not on the field, they get out. They're scrolling. They're not even. It's so passive. I mean, they're just moving and double tapping and moving and double tapping. Then they're listening to their favorite video on YouTube. And it's insane, but I can totally see it. They're literally on social media every second they're not in a classroom. And if they're not like with our kids, if we didn't control it, oh, they'd be out of control. Yeah, absolutely.
It's an addiction for sure, but they do a good job of addicting us, like Twitter and Facebook. It used to be MySpace. I remember in my 20s, I don't know if you ever had a MySpace, but MySpace was the big thing because it had music. And then MySpace kind of fucked itself up and everyone went to Facebook and stuff. And I had a Facebook, and what made me delete my Facebook is as I was having exes messaging me on Facebook that I hadn't talked to since I was like a teenager, and they're married with kids and they're hitting me up. And it's like, whoa, do their husbands know that they're stalking ex-boyfriends? And I'm like, this is bad. I need to get off of here. So I deleted it and never came back. So, but I think everybody, when they're on their toilet, they're looking at their phone. They're looking at social media. So
without it.
And it's like, it's almost like I follow sports, and it's like around the trade deadline for hockey or football or training camp right now with NFL, you got to be on Twitter because you got to know the updates. You got to know who got injured, who did good, who caught a pass, who dropped the pass. It's all on there. And they do a really good job of addicting us. So it's definitely an issue, I think. And I see people in the gym carrying around their phones more and more.
Oh, yeah. And, it's all about dopamine, isn't it? I mean, if I'm not mistaken on the neurotransmitter, you get that gratification. And as you do it more and more, your response to the dopamine is actually decreased. So you have more of a tolerance for the dopamine. It's like the dead body, the end, like you see it once, okay, see it twice. But basically, it's like addiction, any kind of addiction. You get that reaction, you get that dopamine response in your brain. And that's what you're doing with social
media. The dopamine response of getting, you know, a new follower on Instagram, a new like on your photo, is identical to the same dopamine response a gambler gets when he wins.
Oh, you know what? Here's the thing is that I love talking to people like you who know this stuff. Because this has been my fascination. And this is really like everything I've been doing lately is on how the brain works, how to optimize the brain, how to optimize longevity, more of the anti-aging kind of stuff. Because muscle growth, I mean, once you know the pathways and what works with it, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we kind of know how that works. But we're always like, autophagy wasn't the Nobel Prize a year or two ago in it's new shit. Like it's not new. They've been fasting since before. So every religion has fasting involved. Like, but this is new stuff. And that's why it's so profound to learn about this. And that's where I went on that social media tangent, is learning about the dopamine response to hitting that social media like, to getting a like on your photo, to be like, oh my goodness, man, I got 800 likes on my video. You know, you're like, wow. Oh, I can totally see it. And think about it from a kid's perspective. Their reasoning skills aren't fully developed till they're in their 20s. You know, mine still aren't fully developed. So I mean, look at it that way. You have juveniles dealing with some adult brain shit, you know, and that's what's going on here.
The bad news for a lot of our listeners too is when you run tren or any of these harsh androgenic steroids or testosterone at super high levels, like 500 milligrams, which is 3 times, you know, what our bodies produces, you get even more of a dopamine rush. You get even more of a dopamine effect. That's why people who use tren, they tend to cheat on their wives. They try to get into porn. They tend to do a lot of destroy relationships. It really does fuck you up mentally. So that's the bad news.
That's why tren did that. I thought it was just the asshole drug.
Yeah, I mean, tren destroys every relationship I've ever had. So it's great for that.
Mark, the androgenic properties of steroids are what cause changes in mood. So when you're running something androgenic like tren, you basically become a superman. So what does a man want to do? You want to impregnate every single woman. You want to be alpha. You want to show off your manhood. So that's why tren makes you into a raging asshole who will fuck anything that moves.
Well, that's good to know. Lucky that part of my life. I just think about, like, I don't even think half the people know what they're putting into their body. I get so many emails from, I'm sure you get them saying, hey man, I'm taking this, this, and this. I'm like, did you Google any of that? Like, what are you doing? And the SARMS thing, I don't even know. Like, I mean, there's like letters and numbers that I just don't understand. I'm like, MK682 or 677. I'm like, is that an airplane? You know, I'm serious. I feel like that old guy. I'm like, bro, unless it's Test and Deca, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Here's the problem with SARMs, Mark. Like, I actually really like SARMs. I mean, I've written pretty much every SARM article on the internet, especially me and Steve. Like, we've written thousands of articles on SARMs.
I've read them, yeah.
The problem is that SARMs are sold as a research chemical. It's not regulated by the FDA. Yes. So the companies can put literally whatever the heck they want in that product and legally sell it, and they can't get in trouble. So SARMs are very, very expensive. You know, something like Carterin is very expensive. So what a lot of these SARMs companies are doing is they're taking clenbuterol, putting a Carterin label on it, and then selling it. And then people read this article on Carterin for fat loss. They take clenbuterol. They're wired out of their mind, and they're like, oh man, this is awesome. Carterins aren't actually a stimulant. If you're, you know, if you're getting like an increase in heart rate or anything like that after Carterin, you're not taking Carterin. So the problem with SARMs is that I'd say 90% of the SARMs people are putting in their body aren't actually SARMs. They're cheap prohormones, they're clenbuterol, they're T3, they're things like that. It's a freaking bong show, man. You don't even know what you're getting anymore.
That's the same message that I've been promoting every time I talk about SARMs, and I'm called a hater. You know, oh, you're just jealous because they have more money than you. Actually, they don't. But okay, let's assume they have more money than me. Me saying that you don't know what's just because Tony Hughes is a great guy doesn't mean that he has figured out a way to find the optimal source of friggin' SARMs. And I like the guy. I get along with him. We message each other, but I wouldn't take his products. I wouldn't take SARMs.
Here's the thing though, Mark, is these underground labs, a lot of times they have the best intentions in mind. It's these people in China, they're like coke dealers. So what you do is you'll say, hey, I want to buy some Anavar. I'm going to buy 100 grams to try it out. So this person in China is like, okay, friend, you know, long-term business relationship. We send you Anavar.
You've seen the emails.
Oh, dude, I get emails like this all the time, right? So they're going to send you the best quality Anavar ever, right? Because you're going to try it. You're maybe going to pay to test it or whatever. And you're going to be like, wow, this Anavar is 99% pure. We got an awesome source here. So then what does this underground lab do? They say, okay, that Anavar was good. I'm going to now place an order for 5 kilograms. The next order they send you is going to be absolute crap. And even if you can test it and catch it on them and be like, hey, what the hell, man? That sample batch you tested me was 99% pure. This new stuff you sent me is like 60% pure. They don't give a crap. They already have your money. It's not like you can go after them. It's not like you can go to Western Union and ask for a refund. So that's the problem, is it's a lot of these underground labs, they actually want to produce good products. Like, they're not trying to screw people.
I agree.
People in China that are screwing them, and then they have 5 kilograms of underdosed Anavar. So like, hell, what do I do with it? So they just tablet it and sell it and then hope for the best.
Yeah, it's just a slippery slope. And I think that letting people know the risks that are in there, you know, I'm all for people doing whatever they want to do with their bodies. I'm a through and through libertarian. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, by warning them, it doesn't mean that we're haters. It means that we actually care and we're telling the truth. We're not just good bros saying, hey, SARMs are awesome. And I do like the science behind SARMs. The data is quite promising. But to say that the current state of the union, where it's at now, it's safe to take them, is absolutely insane.
So, Mark, I want to kind of have some fun, you know, when we finish this podcast a little bit. Kind of want to do a little thing with you because we had you on before. But first, let me ask you this. What are some ruses out there, fitness-wise or maybe weight training? Because, you know, that are out there, like, I'll give you an example. Subway helps you lose weight. That was a ruse that was heavily marketed and people believe that shit. That eating subs actually helps you lose weight. So what's another ruse though, kind of take it up a notch, that people in the gym think are true but are actually not true, and that they need to kind of cut out if they want to achieve their fitness goals? And, you know, let's try to like stick to maybe like weight training or diet that bros believe in that they should not.
Well, I think we've gone to so many extremes on dieting. I think we've lost common sense. You know, whole foods, eating in a way that fits your lifestyle best. I think people are all, everybody's either keto or flexible or this. And the flexible dieters have gone so far off the Pop-Tart range. It's gone insane. The keto guys have gone so far off that one. Then you got the vegans who are whole nother level of crazy, which I understand because it's an ethical thing. But, you know, I think just common sense, you know, 1980s, we had diabetes literally explode. There was no type 2 children's diabetes. There wasn't. 1980, it's when the food guide pyramid came out. So I think we need to realize that, you know, just eliminating some of the processed junk and going back to the good old even 3 squares a day would be very advantageous for society. And I think that's another thing, meal frequency. I think people put too much stake in meal frequency. And I think at the end of the day, total food intake, you could even argue at more balanced insulin levels for having, you know, less meals a day. So I think looking into that, no extremes. You don't need an extreme diet. What I tell people is keto might be the best diet, but can you adhere to that for the next 20 years? For a diet, don't look at losing weight for the next 2 months. Look at losing and maintaining weight for the next 20 years. If you can't eat bacon and eggs without toast for breakfast every fucking day till you die, then that's not the diet for you because you won't be able to adhere to it. Adherence is number one. As for training, everybody looks for the latest and greatest split, this, that, hitting this angle. It's all about progressive overload. We're sold a bunch of marketing bullshit, all these different programs like, oh, bigger arms, bigger this, bigger that, targeting body parts, emphasizing body parts. Look, man, my arms are shitty. They always will be shitty. I train them for 3 days a week for a lot of my career. They're still a weak point. Basically, my opinion is train each body part like it's a weak point. And then God will make it work. You know, I'm not going to fix my shitty insertions on my triceps by doing them 4 times a week. All I'm going to do is overuse them, cause joint pain and potential injury in the long term. So Marcus, I think that
I know how to fix your arms.
Synthol?
Give Rolly a text. He'll.
I actually think I have his number. But I think that, they do some wonderful things with drugs, don't they? I think that, you can't polish a turd into a diamond. And I think we just try and do that. And I also think another thing kids think is that you can't build a great physique without drugs. You can't build Rolly's physique without drugs. No, but you can get a damn good physique that women will appreciate and prefer over a big drug guy physique by not jeopardizing your life by putting things in your body that you don't know where the hell they came from or what the hell's in them.
I love what you said, Mark. And the problem is people are looking for instant gratification, or they see these stories of some new bodybuilder who's got 1 in a million genetics. He's been training 2 years. He has his pro card. You know, a great example is I had a client who hired me 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he did his first show. He didn't even get top 15th, and he hired me. You know, he's basically really, really discouraged. I helped him for a year. His second show, he got fifth.
That's awesome.
He was a little bit discouraged, right? Because he trained with me for a year and he got fifth. And I said, hey man, you went from not even placing to get top five. That was only 1 year. I said, what you do, that's up to you. But I mean, we're moving in the right direction. What I'd like to do is take another year and do the same thing. He took a week. He like thought about it all. He said, you know what? You're right. I was looking for a quick fix. He worked with me for another year. He won his show.
There you go.
2 years though. That took 2 years just to win a state show. And now, you know, we're going to work on getting into nationals. It's going to be the same thing. He's going to do nationals. He's probably going to get like 10th. Then, you know, the year after he might get like third. The year after he might finally win his pro card. I mean, if you've got average genetics, you can build a good physique. It's just going to take a lot of time and a lot of work.
Oh, absolutely. And there's genetic outliers. Like I could practice basketball every day till I die and I'm not going to be LeBron James. You know, I started boxing. I never held a boxing mitt before I started. And in 15 weeks, I won my fight. I did all that. People were like, you're a shitty boxer. I'm like, yes, compared to a good boxer, I am a shitty boxer. I've been doing it for 15 weeks. For example, my business partner, Mike Rashid, has been doing it since he was 8 years old. He's going to be better than me. I fucking hope he is. Same reason why people go, how do I get your physique? I'm like, 20 years. I've been doing this for 25 years, and my physique is shitty. Think about it. If I have a return on investment from business like I do on my physique, I'd be fucking bankrupt right now. My physique sucks. 25 years of work, and this is the best it is? That's life, dude. You got to make the small. But I will tell you this. Every year it gets better, be it healthier, leaner, whatever it is. Sure, I'm not as big as I was when I competed as a super heavyweight, but my physique has gotten more overall better. I mean, I have better health. I have better performance. I can run a 5K and still be fine afterwards and go have a nice day afterwards. Back in the day, if I ran a 5K, I'd be down for a good 2 days, you know? So I'm getting better. The key is not to be the best in the world. Obviously, in 15 weeks, I'm not going to be fucking Floyd Mayweather. But guess what? I got better. And that's all you can do. So from going like your guy, 15th to 5th, that's fucking fantastic. That's ridiculous. But people don't want that. They want to go to the drive-thru and get their Big Mac and get that dopamine response.
You know what's never made sense to me, Mark, is if you, let's say we were at a dinner party, right? And yeah. I played the piano and I just like freaking killed it. And you were like, holy crap, Trev, how did you learn to play the piano like that? I'd be like, well, I've been taking piano lessons since I was six. You know, I've been playing the piano for 20 years. You'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Now, if you came up to me in the gym, you're like, bro, how do I look like you? Like, you've got the physique I've always dreamed of. And I said, you know what? I've just been weight training for 20 years. I've been consistent. You know, I've been working out 5 days a week roughly for the past 20 years. That guy would be like, that fucker lied to me. He's taking some weird peptide that he only has access to. He's not telling me his source. What a fucking asshole.
Yeah, it's and bodybuilding, it's a you know, you look at like even like it just builds up over time. And there's certain people who respond. Phil Heath, like they called him the gift, not because, you know, but because he responded so well. The guy played basketball and then he started training and took a tiny amount of stuff and became Phil Heath. You know, that's why he's the gift. And you're not Phil Heath. And I'm not Floyd Mayweather. And guess what? I'm also not Bill Gates. I'm not Steve Jobs. We can't be the greatest at everything. That's their specialty. We're not LeBron James. I'm not Barry Bonds. Give me all the steroids in the world. I'm still not going to hit the baseball as far as Barry Bonds. So it is what it is. You just have to work within your – you have to maximize your given potential genetic set. That's it. You can't go – you can't do epic – you can't model yourself after the best in the world at what they are. All you can do is be the best you that you can be.
I think the problem, though, with the fitness industry is that – like I went to an NFL training camp practice, and they had autographs afterwards. And these players, you know, you saw the tight ends and wide receivers – these guys are huge. You know, you go up in person, they're huge in front of you. Guys are like, can I have your autograph, whatever, taking pictures with them. Everyone's like, thank you for your autograph, like kissing their ass. But it's like in the fitness industry, like, so, you know, with the social media and stuff, they sell you the fact that you can be, you know, can look like Phil Heath. You can look like Ronnie Coleman. They sell you that dream so much that people actually believe it. So I really do feel sorry for guys who believe that, and then they try to achieve it, and then they use the drugs, and they spend, you know, all this money on coaches and all this stuff. So I really think that's part of it, though. It's the marketing.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's America, I guess. So we're going to close off the show. We got like a couple more minutes. So I kind of want to have fun. I'm going to throw you some softball, guys. I want to kind of have you comment. Mark, this is going to be a fun one. Can you comment on these names? I'm going to give you a name and just give me like any comment you want. It can be like, you know, one word, two words, two sentences, whatever. So I'm going to throw you a softball one first. Elon Musk, because he's in the news lately.
Genius.
What do you, huh? Okay.
absolute genius. And he's really a guy who just says, fuck you to the establishment. I love him.
Okay. Here's one. Jerry Ward.
That's it.
Show's over.
I got it. Proprietary blend.
Rich Piana.
Legend.
Okay.
He has
John. John Bravo.
Nice guy.
Okay. Jason Bloho. You know that guy or no?
Disgrace.
Okay. Cool. All right. So. That's our show. Trevor, you want to finish it off?
Mark, we just really want to appreciate you coming on again. Do you have any closing plugs you want to do? Do you want to plug your Instagram, your YouTube, anything like that?
If it's anywhere, just go Mark Lobliner and you'll find me. YouTube channel is The Tiger Fitness. That's the main one. The ghetto one is just youtube.com/Lobliner. That's where I do some of my vlogs and some outright minutes, which are cool. Instagram, Mark Lobliner. And MTS Nutrition is my brand. Keep an eye open for the outright bars that are launching at the Olympia.
I will have all of Mark's social media and the MTS social media in the show notes. So if you want to check out Mark, if you want to support his company, that'll all be in the show notes for you guys. For your host, Trevor Kuritzen, for my co-host, Steve Smee, this has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.